You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Tuesday, May 9th, 2017, and this is the Rodo Experts in the Morning, alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Engel, CTM Baseball's Matt Modica. I have Craig Sussman.
Excuse me.
God bless you this morning,
thank
Corey
you.
Parson.
No, I thank you. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to sneeze in everybody's face this morning. Everybody backing Scott, up from the radio like, oh my Lord, I'm sorry. Sorry, Scott.
What's going on, man?
Oh, I feel good. You know, even though I had that sneeze just now, I feel pretty good. Well rested, you know what I'm saying? So got up early, my Dubs, you know what I'm saying? Rocking and rolling. So I'm happy.
It's great. I'm glad
my Yanks rocking and rolling. My Nats rocking and rolling.
So it's a happy sports life.
Two of those three
right
do
now.
Not belong.
Huh?
It's a happy sports life for you right
yes,
now.
Yes, it is. It's a happy man. Sports life for me
so,
right
as
now.
As long as you're happy, I'm happy. Scott,
thank
how
you.
Are you, man?
Good. The one team that I am loyal to and root for won last night. I don't root for three like this guy. But, you know, and wheeling and dealing in some of my fantasy leagues, having a fun day yesterday.
So there you go. So happy Monday for you.
Yeah.
Matty Mo, what's going on?
It's all about when the puck drops tonight.
There you go. There you go. It's very interesting. And everybody responds like when I ask like how are you doing? It was all related to your sports teams. I thought it was interesting. Like I don't know. Like maybe like
how are you doing?
You had a nice meal with your wife last night, Matt. Like I was like
we actually did have a delicious fresh mozz and tomato pizza.
See, that sounds like that would make me happy. You know, like whether the Yankees won or not. If I had a fresh mozz and mozzarella, if I had a fresh mozz and tomato pizza, I would have been happy.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, you know? I'm pretty good. I was just telling Matt off the air. I watched Fargo last night, so that was I caught up on that. Weird episode, I thought. You know, not everyone could be an overall winner, I thought. Caught up on a lot of TV last night, which was good. And today, my goal tonight is to start The Handmaid's Tale, which I'm very, very excited about. Yeah, you got nothing for that one, huh?
No, I never heard of it.
Yeah, I was asking my wife about that yesterday.
I heard it's supposed to be incredible.
She said she read the book when she was in school or something, and it was pretty terrifying to her.
Yeah, I mean, everyone I've read and all the reviews say it's incredible, so I got to check it out. So, that's on Hulu, Scott.
Okay, so I don't have Hulu. I have Netflix, I don't have Hulu.
I also don't have Hulu. My roommate does, though, so I will be stealing that from him.
Okay. So. That's what roommates are for.
I agree. I agree. Sports-wise, I was very happy the Yankees won, and I was very happy that Jacob deGrom, once again, had double-digit strikeouts. What is this, four games in a row now?
Yeah.
Four
of the past five, yeah.
It's absolutely incredible.
Didn't get the win, though.
He didn't deserve the win.
You can't have everything.
No, I'm not upset. I'm not complaining.
He didn't have a terrible start. Strikeout 11, should get the win.
Ricky Nolasco struck out 10 last night. I was happy with that.
I was befuddled by that. If I was the A's, I would have a team meeting saying
going befuddled.
Yeah, Ricky Nolasco just struck out 10 of us. We need to, you know, revisit something.
It's not nice. Maybe Ricky Nolasco's a nice guy.
Yeah, but he's a terrible pitcher.
Jeez, man.
He's on my AL only team's guy.
It's not personal.
He's on Matt's team.
It's not
You're
personal.
Insulting this poor guy.
Well, I didn't realize that. I'm happy for Matt then. And I can hope he continues to overachieve.
I don't think you do. I think you actually want him to suck.
No, I don't.
You said he doesn't deserve
don't put
wins.
Words in my mouth.
You said you don't deserve wins.
I knew he was mad at
you. Said, quote, he's a terrible pitcher.
Before you said he's on Matt's team.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
It's different there.
All right. I like when you notice people that get dropped in your league. Like Mike Clevenger, we talked about him yesterday. He was dropped in my leagues, I guess, when he picked him up. Some picked up Aaron Hicks for him. So I thought that was interesting.
Aaron Hicks is just playing amazing.
Aaron Hicks is scorching hot.
Like the best fourth outfielder in baseball.
Right now he's playing like it. Scott, I know you also you made a couple of trades yesterday. Big day for you.
Yeah. But one of the closer in the Granite Street Tavern League after navigating some terrible offers. and learning, like, Benny Ricciardi is quite the salesman.
Sold you on something?
No, Benny, when you try to make a trade with Benny, he tries to make it sound like what he has is like shopping at Jared, and everything you have is like in a 99-cent store. And then you get crazy offers from like, you know, Ron Cafferty, where he offers you Jackie Bradley, Hector Neris, and Cole Hamels for Luis Severino and Chris Owings, and you laugh at it. And then I ended up trading Delino DeShields for Bud Norris, and in Tout Wars, which I thought was very fair. And in Tout Wars, I got Avisail Garcia for Brandon Mara.
Did you only get him because you want to say Avisail every single day?
That was part of the allure, yes. But I did need some offensive help, and I'm OBP, so...
Yeah, there it is. I got to make some moves myself in a league. Things are not going great. Hey, we're going to break down everything from yesterday, including the really sad news that I think we all walked out of work with. Like, what the hell just happened? We'll break that down when we come back. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. When the Yankees have the best record in baseball, isn't that nuts?
No, it's another day at the office.
Right. I read an interesting article how the Yankees don't really want to be in this position, and then they have to start trading for, you don't want to trade guys away because the plan is for the future. It's very interesting.
It's actually a great problem for them to have right now.
Sure. I mean,
they just need to acquire some more starting pitching. I mean, look at the bullpen they have. And if I'm a Yankee fan, this is just like...
This is not expected.
That's when it's so great, when you don't expect your team. And look, it's still only, what, May?
Yeah, it's very early.
It's still early, May 9th, excuse me. But this is just a great thing. And the Yankees have a ton of pieces to move. They're not going to move Torres, we know that. They're not going to move Gleyber Torres. But they do have a ton of pieces to move. And there's going to be a ton of sellers here,
yeah,
at some point.
See, now here's the thing about it is, what you hit on, Matt, is correct. I think when you come into a season with low or no expectations, I think you can play more freely. And you know what I'm saying? As opposed to coming into the season with a ton of expectations, then you kind of get tight. And almost like when you have so many expectations, you don't enjoy the victories. It's kind of like, well, I'm glad we didn't lose. Whereas when you come in with with no expectations, you can kind of enjoy the victories more, and the team gets rolling, success breeds confidence. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep this going. But like you said, we're very early into the season.
It's really been a team effort. I mean, from guys like Chase Headley, Starlin Castro, Aaron Hicks coming, you know. I mean, look at Brett Garner's last week. His last 9 games, he got six homers, 12 runs scored, 12 RBIs. I mean, like I said, I'm not a Yankee fan. I like to root against the Yankees.
Yeah, I know.
But they've actually been fun to watch.
I'm glad that you have put your feelings aside, Matthew. Hopefully Scott can do the same.
What are you talking about?
Put your feelings aside and commend the New York Yankees on their play to start the season.
I've done that several times already.
All right.
You're the hater, not me. I don't hate the Yankees.
Okay. I'm just checking.
I'm upset, not obsessed with the other team in town like you.
Let's look at something a little bit more serious.
That was a pretty weak whistle by me, too.
Very bad job by
you. If you want to learn how to whistle, get some lessons from Greg. He does it very well.
Oh, okay. that's the reverse. You did it sucking in. Yeah, I know. That's a good one right there.
Yeah, I do it sucking in. I do it reverse, but I do a good whistle.
No, you do.
I can't whistle. Not a strong shooter.
Nevertheless.
That was very good. So we could put you in a whistle competition, and we could put Scott in the air instrument competition.
I don't want to be in a whistle competition.
Would you be in the air instrument challenge?
Sure. They have a national air guitar competition.
We got to get this done.
Yeah.
But by the way, like I said before, we get into the serious stuff. I follow a new account on Twitter that I suggest everyone follow.
Oh, what's it called?
Whether they're, you know, politics aside, which is the funny thing to laugh at, it's called Trump on Baseball.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
It is pretty funny.
Nothing to do with politics, but it's funny. Here's the latest tweet from last night. Quote, Sandy Alderson reiterated what everybody, including the fake news media, already knows. I did not plant sex toys in the Mets locker room.
I know who the culprit is, Donald. Don't worry about it.
Again, totally unrelated to politics. Just very, very funny. Yeah.
They get on me for having the same jokes.
I've never said that joke before.
No, I'm talking about Corey.
Okay.
Yeah. well, it's funny, though.
Anyway.
After yeah, 997 times, maybe.
Nevertheless, yeah. Let's move on to the more serious conversation where I walked out of work yesterday. I was actually in the supermarket, and I was picking up some groceries for my last
night. Where's the supermarket you go to?
I go to Fairway.
Yeah, I figured you was a Fairway guy.
Fairway's a good supermarket.
Fairway or Whole Foods.
Yeah, I was Whole Foods.
Whole Foods. Whole Foods is much more expensive than Fairway.
No, Whole Foods
is not expensive.
No, but still, they don't, like, what you don't, where's your Fairway at, though?
A couple blocks away.
Yeah, you see, they don't really get Fairway.
What supermarket do you go to?
I go to C-Town.
I don't know what that is.
C-Town. Yeah, it's uptown. I know C-Town. Yeah.
See, we got to go. Fairway is like all the way down. You know where Dinosaur Barbecue is in Harlem?
Sure.
That's where the Fairway is at.
Got it.
I don't even go to the supermarket hardly anymore. We don't go. We just do Peapod.
Groceries.
Get it delivered.
Yeah, I like
that's a good one.
Yeah. I like going to the supermarket. I choose to go to the supermarket
rather than
doing Peapod or another one of those services. I like going up and down the aisles. You never know what you're gonna see there. You grab it. You know what I grabbed? I grabbed these little pretzel bites yesterday. I didn't ever know.
Look at
them.
That.
Yeah, see, you can that's do that true. Peapod.
You have a seat.
But I can't go down the aisles.
You ever see famous people? Because you live in an area where famous people would live at.
I do not live where famous people live. That's really? Way downtown.
Oh, that's further down.
You got like people walking their poodles in the supermarket too and stuff like that.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do. I do have that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't see famous people. I can't tell you what I say. I'll tell you off there what we're saying.
Oh, no, good.
But nevertheless, so I'm in the supermarket and... I hate when people are on their phones in the supermarket because they're going down up and down the aisles and you can't see
what's going on. You might run over my foot.
Problem was, I was that guy because I just saw this. I got this text message about James and Tyler. What the hell is this? Yeah. I thought it was a joke the first time I read it because that was a vulgar text, the one I received. And then I went and checked Twitter and I checked Roto World and whatnot. And there it was. James and Tyler had surgery for possible testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. And obviously, out indefinitely. God knows what the deal is. God knows if they got everything. God knows if he's cancer free. And it's a very, very scary situation, of course, with baseball certainly taking a background on this, a backseat to this. And just brutal news, Scotty, with Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, you know, I actually had the chance to interview him last year. Really, really nice kid. A guy that we all wanted to draft this year because we felt like, you know, we actually heard reports that he could actually be the team's best pitcher. So, you know, for him and Chad Bettis actually underwent the same thing. So, I always say, you know, it's like, you know, these guys make our hobby possible in what we do. So I can only wish them well.
Well, I don't always wish them well, but in this case, I do wish them well.
Yeah, this is
very serious. This is a very serious conversation. Like, I don't root for players that aren't on my team. I wish them poorly, to be honest with you.
No, but what I'm saying is,
I'm with you.
What I'm saying is, I don't make it personal. You know, I'll root against a guy if he's not on my team, but I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody.
Like,
I don't want them to get injured or anything like that. You know, it's never personal to me.
Can you just point to me?
Because you root for players to get hurt.
In a situation like this, though, obviously this is very serious. You know what I'm saying? So I wish nothing but the best. Situation like this, situation like Ryan Zimmerman, you know, oblique.
Oblique,
Matt. Very nice. You don't have to wish for it with Zimmerman usually, though.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right, Scott.
Yeah. You make a very good point. He's a good guy.
I know he was very. I was one of I interviewed Ryan Zimmerman at the park one time.
You did,
yeah.
I think that was maybe the only interview you've ever done.
Yeah,
that's not very nice.
Yeah,
no, cool. I'm saying that's not my thing.
It wasn't Corey's thing. You know, it's like we were at Yankee Stadium and Corey's like, you know, like
that's a funny story.
His jaw is on the floor. And he's like, it's Mariano Rivera.
You see Mariano Rivera? That's a big deal. I saw Derek Jeter.
I'm like, I'm not even going to get to Jeter because you were practically foaming at the mouth.
Oh, I saw Derek Jeter, and I've seen Derek Jeter 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I saw Derek Jeter recently, but as a matter of fact.
I told Corey, go ahead. Here's my recorder. Go interview Rivera. He's like, Corey got like the big personality, got all small. He said, oh, hey, I can't do it.
Well, I saw Derek Jeter, my knees buckled. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, and I saw Reggie Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Reggie Jackson gave me a dap. That's cool.
I remember we were at Madison Square Garden and Walt Frazier gave you a dap.
Walt Frazier loves me.
Yeah.
He's people. Walt Frazier loved me.
Yeah.
So you were like, what is that you wearing?
This is crazy. This turned into a cancer conversation with James and Ty. It's great seeing Reggie Jackson.
Like, I can just see Walt, you know what I'm saying, coming down 8th Avenue in the Cadillac.
I always forget to go to Walt's restaurant.
I need to go to Walt's restaurant. Right by your crib, yeah. And Walt's like, baby. He got the fur on and the fro going. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how, that was the Walt Frazier era of Knick basketball. Greg don't like this. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah, but getting back to Jameson Taillon.
Yes, please.
Yeah,
back to Jameson
Taillon into Walt Frazier. Yeah.
A very unfortunate
situation.
Cut
my mic off like SiriusXM, huh?
I
no,
go ahead.
This is why we didn't want this.
Matt, I want to give you a chance here on Jameson Taillon, due to testicular cancer.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's handled it in the best way possible. He put out some letter yesterday, you know. It makes you want to root for this guy even more. All the best. Hopefully, like you said, they caught it soon enough, early enough. He did, as you say, lost a part of his manhood, but he feels more like a man than ever now. So, I mean, that's just a great outlook, a great attitude.
Yeah.
Best.
Brutal.
Good kid. Nice kid. You know, got to interview him last year and, you know, very gracious, gave everybody a lot of his time, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, and a lot of his teammates, you know, regard him very highly. So we can only have our thoughts and prayers with him.
Now I have to ask the obvious question for our show. I wanted to get into before someone was laughing. What do you do from a fantasy perspective with Jameson Taillon?
You just cut him. You don't know when he's going to return.
Do you cut a guy with a testicular cancer, man?
I mean, I don't know what the prognosis.
We can talk to Dr. A tomorrow.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way right after this.
Cold as ice.
We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. I gotta throw it to you, Corey, because I gave it to Scott, I gave it to Matt. You own Jameson Taillon. What do you do?
I mean, it's a tough situation right here. I think that this is, I think more than likely, DL him for now. Let's see if we can get some more information. Obviously, his health, the most important thing. But I think it's going to end up as a situation where you're going to end up sending him to the waiver wire and, you know, and hoping for the best for the situation that he is in right now. So definitely want to shout out to him. You know, taking it on, you know, stepping up like this. So, but yeah, I think for fantasy owners, I think this is another guy, like you said, bench till we get some more information. More than likely by the weekend, he should go to the waiver wire.
I'll tell you what, we said this earlier before any news on Jameson Taillon came out, but.
Scott, what are you doing?
Don't worry about me. Just talk.
No, I'm just wondering what are you doing because you look like you was. I didn't know what you was trying to show Matt. He was trying to moon Matt.
You know, we've said this before.
Try to focus today.
When it comes to Pittsburgh, that it's going to be all. It's just all going in the wrong direction, and this is another like kind of kink in the armor with Marte's suspension and now Taillon's cancer, and you know they got blown out last night by the Dodgers by the score of 12-1.
And you see what's whack about this, right? So you're 14-8, right? And it's early in the season. You're 14-18, and it's early in the season. You got a losing record, and it's probably not going to get much better. And then it's May. You got to do this till October. This can get very ugly. You feel what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I don't think, I think all the pieces that they have that can be traded and should be
dissolve
traded are going to be traded.
McCutcheon.
Yeah, I mean, especially the same division as the Cubs. I mean,
correct.
The Cubs are going to win this division.
Somebody could use Harrison in his versatility.
Josh Harrison, Andrew McCutcheon, Garrett Cole, potentially.
I could even see Jordy Mercer ending up somewhere.
I don't want Jordy Mercer, sure.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys, like Tony Watson.
Tony Watson, yeah.
This is like the NL version of the Royals. I mean, both these teams are going to be looking
to
revamp their system. And this is how they have to do it, these small market teams. So, you know, it will be, like I said, it will be interesting to see who goes. I mean, the guy to me, I mean, obviously McCutcheon is going to move. But does Garrett Cole get traded? That's the big one.
Ivan Nova maybe moves to contender.
I know Nova just signed the contract with them last year. I don't know how much it's for. I have to look that up. But the Nova one's interesting because obviously how well he's pitched. When you take him away from Pittsburgh and Searidge, like, will it sustain? I know that's obviously the question.
It happened with Jay Happ.
It has happened with Jay Happ, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I guess Nova's another name. I'm with you. I think that ultimately everybody gets traded that can get traded. And comparing the Royals is a good comparison because they're going to do the same thing. They're going to two teams that were in it for a little while. Of course, Pittsburgh couldn't break out of that wild, out of that first round. Kansas City wins the World Series. But this is kind of almost like the end of an era with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and with Kansas City, you might see Herrera end up somewhere. Yeah, could be in Washington.
Hosmer, Kane, Moustakas, all these guys could end up. Escobar's another one.
Jason Vargas,
certainly. Yeah, no question about it.
Jason Vargas don't get traded, though.
So last night for Pittsburgh, Trevor Williams pitched three innings, allowed eight runs, six of them were earned. That went poorly. As did Josh Lindblom coming in, four innings, four runs. It was a really bad night for Pittsburgh all around. Really bad day for Pittsburgh here. And the Pirates. Alex Wood, five innings, shut out. Two hits, one walk, 11 strikeouts. We were asked the BFF's chat yesterday, 1 at 2 p.m. Eastern here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Better stream, Alex Wood against Pittsburgh or Trevor Cahill. Both pitched quite well. Not upset with my Alex Wood answer, though.
Yeah, and Alex Wood, get this, five innings pitch, 11 strikeouts. He set a Dodgers franchise record. He is the most strikeouts in five innings or less, tying Vicente Padilla and Sandy Koufax. Breaking the record by them.
Well, good job, Vicente Padilla.
He's got such a sneaky delivery, man. His pitches were just coming up right on the batter. He's got this herky-jerky, sneaky delivery. This is the guy that pitched well in Atlanta and never got the run support.
Well, the thing with Wood is you got to just hope he stays healthy. He's he is susceptible to the injury, so hopefully he holds up. If he holds up, he's got to stay in this rotation. It was one of the reasons why I was on him in the preseason. I wanted him. A guy like Brandon McCarthy, who has pitched well when healthy, is really never healthy neither. And the Dodgers, we've seen it with multiple teams. You never have enough pitching. The pitching seems to, it's like the Mets. Remember, we were talking about who's going to take the fifth spot and, who's going to go to the bullpen. Things have gone awry.
They got Ryu maybe coming back this week and Hill coming back this week. But, those guys never stay healthy, especially Ryu.
Yeah, well, and Hill is just, what do you do with Hill? I don't see them putting him in the bullpen. I don't see how that makes it better for him.
Well, it's interesting because, as I said before, Corey, is that the Dodgers, they knew that they have all these guys who are injury prone. That's why they had 10 of them, and they were going to figure it out. And, the Mets, they had six of them, I don't feel great. But the Dodgers, they literally picked up 10. They're we know all these guys are not going to be healthy all year. We'll let them do their thing, and we have ready-made replacements. Alex Wood, at least for now, looks like one of them.
Yeah, and like you said last night, he comes through with the big time performance. So listen, this is a team that's going to be playing deep into October, so mixing and matching, trying to figure out the pieces as they move along, and then of course they get set and get ready to get locked in for their playoff run. This is a lot of what you're going to have to deal with through the course of the regular season, but Alex Wood looks like a keeper.
Corey Seager did leave this game with an undisclosed injury.
Now, so in regards to that Corey Seager injury, do we think he left the game because it was 12-1 or...
Yeah, he left at the time he left. It was 10-0. So I don't know what the injury is or anything.
He said he spoke to the trainer and just came out.
I own Corey Seager, so I'd like some more information about that, please.
Me too. Yes, I'd like some more information myself.
This is a little frustrating here. I did not know this information until about 1 second ago. So that's a little frustrating, Scott.
Yes, it is. I own him too.
Yesterday, Chris Taylor's third home run of the year. Yasiel Puig, your boy, Corey. He is sixth home run of the year. Yasmani Grandal also finally got a couple of hits, which was nice because he's obviously been struggling as of late. Let me start with Chris Taylor, who, with Logan Forsythe out, has played really, really well. And I know he's not playing every day. Of course, Chase Utley is there as well. But Chris Taylor, when getting the opportunity, has looked really good.
Yeah, it's been a small sample size, but he's made the most of it. And Forsythe had a setback on his rehab assignment, so we don't know when he's coming back.
Yeah, I was watching a game not too long ago, and one of the Dodgers people was saying how he had a different approach and he's made some adjustments. And as Scott said, it is a small sample size, but as of now, it has paid off.
Yeah, not much of a track record there to go with, but something to keep an eye on.
So Jacques Peterson yesterday also went 3 for 5, had a couple of runs scored, had a couple of ribbies. Really, most of this Dodgers team got rolling yet last night against Pittsburgh, where they, as I said, put up 12 runs. Seager left the game up 10-1. So 10-0, as you said. So hopefully it's no big deal for Corey Seager. We'll see.
We'll find out.
Of course, remember in the offseason, in the spring, he dealt with an oblique injury. I don't know. I don't know if that's a recurrence of that. I don't know what's going on, but it is something definitely to monitor when it comes to Seager.
I can't speculate. It just said undisclosed, and they just pulled him out.
Interesting fact, Puig hit his 6th homer of the year. All 6 homers have been at Dodger Stadium, 5 to left field, 1 to left center, and off of Trevor Cahill, Jared Weaver, Fernando Rodney, Hector Neris, and Trevor Williams.
It's interesting. Of mostly terrible players. Of mostly terrible players.
That's what you're supposed to do, though.
No, you are supposed to do it, but... just the problem
is, look, Giancarlo Stanton hit 2 bombs off of Jared Wilk on Sunday.
What?
Giancarlo Stanton hit 2 bombs off of Jared Wilk on Sunday.
Well, the joke is his name is Adam Wilk, obviously.
Yeah. I'm about to say Jared Wilk pitches there. Might as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're making a joke or... Okay.
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Sure. All right. There you go. Let's talk about Jake DeGrom's 11 strikeouts. Let's talk about Alex Wood, who had 11. Now, so did Jacob DeGrom. DeGrom and the Mets win 4-3. They walkered it off. He's only that worst team. Jake DeGrom, 6 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs. Walk 3, 11 strikeouts. Matt, you were saying early, he didn't have it, but he found it.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best at, when he doesn't have his A stuff, of being competitive, keeping his team in the game. I mean, I turned the game on, it was 2-0. I didn't even see the Hunter Pence homer yet. And I was like, damn. I'm like, come on. But he bared down. I mean, Buster Posey hit a home run later on in the 6th inning, I believe it was. I mean, so he really pitched well. He made 2 mistakes. He kept his team in the game, and they went on to win it.
It's interesting. I did the same exact thing. I turned this game on. It's 2-0. I'm like, God damn it. Like, yeah, are you kidding me?
I was watching from the beginning, and his command was just not there in the first inning. And then, you know, he left the ball up against Hunter Pence, who's not having a good season, but creamed it. But, you know, then he reined it in, started working the change up more, et cetera. The frustrating thing about it, though, is he didn't get a win again last night. He's got 4 strikeouts. He's got 4 double-figure strikeout games in his last 5, and he only has a win in 1 of them. And 1 of the wins he got was when he had that five runs allowed against Atlanta, and he only struck out 5. So, you know, he's not getting any luck here.
No, he's not getting any luck. But the Mets, they are getting some luck. They're rocking and rolling right now, despite all the controversy surrounding the team. We'll get into Matt Harvey in just a second.
They've won 7 of their last 10.
Just 1 game under 500.
They're doing
good. Matt Moore, 5 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs. He struck out 5 yesterday. A terrible start for Matt Moore, who I don't think is a very good pitcher. Of course, Hunter Pence winds up with his 3rd home run of the year. Buster Posey also hit his 3rd. And Posey's a funny name because he's batting 363, the 437 OBP, but the counting stats haven't been there for the most part because nobody in San Francisco can get on base. So Buster Posey, seeing him in a home run is great, but dude, I remember yesterday, he was like on pace for like 26 RBIs.
He is the San Francisco Giants offense. I mean, it's really Buster Posey versus the world for them. San Francisco, since the All-Star break last year, is, I think, the worst team in baseball.
Really?
They've been god-awful.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, so...
they've been absolutely awful. They've struggled in all facets of the game, both pitching and hitting, and certainly mostly with that lineup. You get the 2 home runs from Hunter Pence and Posey. And Posey also hit a double. Really not much else going on in the offense. I know Joe Panic on a base a couple times, but like that's it. Very, very empty was the San Francisco offense last night. Of course, for the Mets, as I said, Neil Walker walked it off last night with a single in the bottom of the 9th. Curtis Granderson, a big double in the 6th, which tied the game. So, The Mets, as I said, you know, really rolling along despite all the controversies around them, Scotty.
Yeah, there was the first walk-off win of the season last night, and Granderson's big hit was actually a pinch hit, you know, as he came off the bench there, and Jerry's Familia actually got the win in relief with a shutout inning.
Good for Familia getting the win yesterday. And, of course, the other story when it comes to the Mets was Matt Harvey. And Matt Harvey potentially returning Friday, and, of course, we talked, he was suspended. We thought he was watching the Ranger game. This might have been a really long hangover, Corey.
Sometimes that happens, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can tie one on real good and take you all the way into the next day. And Matt Harvey looked like he can get down.
basically, he didn't show up to the game and then went to One Oak after that, and that pissed people off.
Yeah. You don't care.
The Mets are winning. The Yankees are winning. We'll break them down and more baseball coming your way next.
Yeah, I don't care. Roto Experts in the morning.
There you go.
Fantasy executive. CTM Baseball's Matt Medica. Greg Sussman in the place to be. The King, Scott Angle. Scotty, when do the Mets start their concert series for this year?
Oh, the post-game concert?
Yeah, the post-game concert.
I gotta look that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be there tonight.
I know.
Yeah, tonight?
Oh, what's going on there tonight?
Wow,
what's
going on tonight? Yeah.
At the park?
Tonight, yeah, tonight's... also, the day that Harvey's supposed to come back to the team.
Oh, so you think you get exclusive?
Yeah,
no. No.
Harvey doesn't talk to except for like one, two people.
Like and the big time ESPN not, guy.
Do you think he'll talk today or no? Do you think he'll be like, oh, I'm sorry?
I think they'll probably have a press conference like in the
They should sit his ass
room.
On the podium today.
Yeah, they'll probably put him in the podium or he'll sit in the dugout and address the entire media.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll fire that grievance?
Well, he's a Scott Boras client, so I believe it will happen.
I think the MLB union would want to file that regardless. That union is so powerful. But it is up to Matt Harvey today to man up, take responsibility, try and get some respect back for his teammates.
Yeah,
and
he's supposed to address the team today.
Move on.
Like they've asked him to like address the team. I don't know if he will or he won't. The word around Citi Field though is like if they didn't ask him to come back today and they left a suspension on it, he would just go to the Rangers game anyway.
Yeah, no, he probably would. Yeah.
That's right. The problem, and that's why I really don't see him being a part of this team after the trade deadline. I think both sides want to move on.
Yeah, Christy Ackard wrote a column in the New York Daily News this morning about how, you know what, if you don't get the proper return, just get rid of him now.
By the way, a little update. So Ken Gernick, who's a Dodgers beat reporter at LV.com, he reported last night that Corey Seager was not injured, just removed, because 10-0, and give him half a day off.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
All right, good.
Thrilled to hear that.
Thank you for confirming.
Oh, Scott, is that you on TV?
Oh, the King!
Scott on TV.
King's on TV. Oh.
Yeah, it's the rotation.
What you was doing, you was talking about?
Talking about my career.
Oh, that's right, that's right. I remember that one.
Yeah, that's very popular. That's why they're showing it now. I knew the
it's on FNTSY TV right now.
Yes, the ratings were through the roof. So don't turn that on. You're listening to us, though.
Remember ESPN had Sean Salisbury. He's calling the instant rating spike.
He
was good, Sean Salisbury.
Yeah, he was.
Until he couldn't stop sending meat mail to the interns, though.
He loved fantasy football, too, Sean Salisbury.
King, the beard looks pretty thick over there, that one.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's like you're Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Papa Noel.
Yeah. The Yankees won again, 10-4. They beat off their former prospect, Ricky Davis. Remember, Ricky Davis is the main piece in the trade over for Aroldis Chapman.
Okay, nice.
So that worked out well for the Yankees, I'd say.
Yeah,
kicked his ass.
Yeah.
They did. Ricky Davis doesn't go 5 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Amir Garrett was optioned to AAA. If Ricky Davis is still in the rotation, I just want to make that clear.
They're going to monitor Ricky Davis's innings, though, and he'll go down soon. He'll stop taking these beatings.
The problem is they don't give a crap about his service time. They care about your Garrett service time. Masahiro Tanaka wasn't great last night by any stretch of the imagination. 7 innings, 10 hits, 4 runs, 3 were earned, 6 strikeouts. Now, his defense did not help him behind them at all. Chase Headley's a terrible defender. I will say that forever. He had an error. He also had another play that should have been an error. Tanaka gets his 5th win of the year.
I got to give the Yankees, I got to give their players some props here. I think they landed like 5 a.m. or something like that. Hey, look, they're playing baseball, but it's tough. You mean?
Hell yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, they landed at 5:08 a.m. Eastern time yesterday.
Thanks for the exacta.
Yeah. Jeez, Scott.
sorry, Matt. You can't roll.
What? It's an interesting fact.
Yeah, Matt told us you landed at 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 5:08.
Oh, God. Greg Brett Gardner hit his sixth home run of the year yesterday. And Gardner has been one of the hottest hitters in baseball after really struggling to start the year. Averaged up to 260, OB up to 358, six home runs. This is a hot streak for Brett Gardner. Can it continue, Scotty?
Six home runs all in his last nine games. Gardner isn't a classic power hitter. So I think, you know, there's definitely going to be some regression here. But, you know, this is a guy that, like, you know, got drafted in the last round of some. And I've actually saw him as a free agent in one NFBC league.
I don't know why he says horrible.
What's that?
He was horrible.
Yeah, but at this point, now, coming into this week, for him to still be a free agent, you know. And when I'm pointing out the draft spot to say, you know, look, if you, like, you picked him up for a few bucks, look at the return that you're getting. I don't think this kind of power production keeps up, though.
I've seen this past Sunday night, Aaron Hicks go for like almost 20% in Fab. If you go to his Fangraphs page, it's pretty amazing. I mean, six homers, 21 runs, 16 RBI, five stolen bases. I mean, I don't. It's an under 100 plate appearances for him, so pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's funny because, Corey, during the offseason, I was extremely adamant and clear. I wanted nothing to do with Brett Gardner.
You wanted the Yankees to get rid of him. You wanted to trade him.
I didn't want Brett Gardner. I didn't want Jacoby Ellsbury on my team. Both these guys got the nice starts.
But, and then, well, another thing. No pressure. You know what I'm saying? Playing loose and free. Obviously, the lineup getting hot. Plays around him playing better. So it makes these things a little bit easier. Playing for something. So a team that's motivated coming to the ballpark, I think that definitely helps. And these guys were going for next to nothing in drafts. So right now, if you were one of the people that scooped them up, it's very good that you get a chance to reap those benefits.
Remember, I was in a mock, and I had the final pick.
And you took Brett Gardner. There you go, right there.
Remember coming out of spring training, the discussion was Aaron Judge or Aaron Hicks?
Yeah.
Sure.
And
now I mean, you combine
both. They're both playing well.
Yeah. You combine the both of these guys. I mean, come on.
Hicks is the best fourth outfielder in baseball right now.
Yeah, it is absolutely confirmed that these two guys have been awesome.
Yeah.
Hicks, Gardner, both providing your fantasy team with a lot of points.
Hicks would look good in the Mets right now, I'll tell you that much.
And Matt Holliday, you know, homered again last night. He has, in his last 11 games, he has 11 RBIs and four homers. And it's real interesting, you know, Joe Girardi was saying, you know, I've never been around this guy before. I've only heard about him. But, like, he's becoming a leader in our clubhouse. And there's been a lot of talk, like a really good article in the Daily News today about how Matt Holliday and Aaron Judge can always be seen by the cage together. And, like, they've developed a relationship where Judge is really, like, absorbing a lot of that. You always talk about how a veteran will take a young guy under the wing. When you got Matt Holliday taking Aaron Judge under the wing, that's a guy you want Judge learning from. Like, Judge actually tried to steal a base the other day.
Yeah.
And he said, we don't need you to do that, Hawk.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of like Scott and a young Corey Parsons.
Yeah, very similar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
All you can see, the Mets need somebody to Matt Harvey need to get underneath somebody's wing. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
They need to bring back Tom Seaver.
I don't think Harvey wants to get any under.
Yeah, you're right.
Because Doc Gooden was at Citi Field yesterday.
Doc Gooden's a junkie, Scott.
I want to talk to Harvey.
Yeah, but what is Doc Gooden going to say? Matt's going to be like, you're
high. Bring me to 1-0.
Exactly. What are they going to talk about? Then they're going to be in the car. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get weird after that.
Matt Harvey's going into rehab. Here.
Yeah.
Him and Strawberry are my two favorites. But yeah. It is what it is, Scott. I mean, watching that Doc and Daryl 30 for 30.
When he came in, we saw him in SiriusXM. Like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, man, he's still. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
it's a sickness.
Yeah, and you're right. You're absolutely right,
look
Scott.
At Doc, because it's almost like Doc is not out to hurt anybody but himself.
Yeah, it's sad. I wish it was all right. Man, that crazy stories in that Doc Gooden book. Like, you know what I'm saying? The parade. Yeah. He watched the parade from a crack house.
I remember I was at that parade, and I was like, when I heard Dwight Gooden show up, I was like, hot bro.
Yeah, I was at the parade. I'm like, where is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in Hempstead in the crack house.
Yeah.
That's where he was at.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
Like watching the parade on TV, and you're the
and
damn
on the
Doc
flip
couldn't.
Side, you look at Daryl Strawberry, who's supposedly him
had a lot
and his
going
wife.
On.
They
yeah.
they have like I don't know, a drug rehab kind of place that help people
but
out.
Strawberry didn't really start turning around too recently either, though.
Yeah,
you know?
No, no, it took him a long time too.
Was you at school with his son? Did y'all go to school together?
Sure.
Yeah,
DJ.
He was Daryl was still messed up then.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Oh yeah. And I know they had a very strained relationship, DJ Strawberry and Daryl. But when I was at school, Daryl was there watching the games all the time.
Yeah,
all the time. Daryl was there, which is cool.
Are y'all in the same class? You and DJ?
No, DJ was old. DJ was like, I was there DJ senior year.
Okay. So you okay?
Right. But I did have a chance to talk to DJ, which is pretty cool.
Where's DJ Strawberry at now?
Well, I know he was in the league very, very briefly. Played for Phoenix. I think he was drafted in the second round.
Okay.
Went over to Europe for a little while. And now, as I do a quick Wikipedia search on DJ Strawberry, DJ plays in the Turkish Basketball League.
Okay.
Right. So he's doing his thing. He's
smoking the hookah.
He played in the Greek league for a while with Olympiakos, which is obviously one of the premier teams there. Now plays in Turkey, so
he's still getting paid to play.
Good for him, man. Good for him. Good for DJ.
But you got I don't know how you want if you want to live in Turkey though.
Well, I prefer Greece would be much better to live in.
Probably so.
Yeah. It's funny because when Gary Sanchez went on the DL, a lot of talk with how badly he was struggling. Since he came off the DL, things have obviously turned around. He's had 8 plate appearances in the last 2 games. He came in the midway through the 18-inning game on Sunday night. He's reached base all 8 times. 3 for 3 last night. The average all the way up to .281. The OBP all the way up to .410. Gary Sanchez's slow start, a distant memory.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by this. Our Michael Waterloo was actually there watching the rehab assignment down in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And he was hitting the ball hard. So, that's what Gary Sanchez does.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Indeed. For the Cincinnati Reds last night, Billy Hamilton was 1 for 5. And speaking of Billy Hamilton, gentlemen, I received an offer for Billy Hamilton.
Oh, let me hear it. Cool. Now I want to hear this.
I thought you guys would find that interesting.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Tim Anderson for Billy Hamilton?
Yeah, I would have turned that down. The offer that I've received for Big Billy Hamilton is this. I've actually received 2 trades today, overnight. And this offer came during Zincana and Angle. And it's from Tony Cincotta.
Oh, he's trying to get your speed from you.
He wants Billy Hamilton, and he wants Jared Eichhoff.
Not bad.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
He's asking for good players.
Yeah,
2 guys I like.
Good time to buy an Eichhoff.
He's giving up Neftali Feliz.
Mm-hmm. You need saves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving up Ian Desmond. I'm turning this down.
You got to turn that down. You got to turn that down.
If out of the relievers,
what's wrong with you, Sussman?
I'm not that. It was not a good offer.
What are you saying?
I would want Osuna over Feliz if I was going to make that deal as the first player. I mean, Ian Desmond. If you believe in the cause effect and why he was going high in drafts before he got injured, then a Osuna Desmond would not be a bad offer. Feliz to me. I wouldn't
could lose his job anymore.
Assuming Desmond, that'd be tempting.
I canceled that offer for the record.
Yeah.
I have rejected.
What was your reasoning behind it?
I don't think I was getting the good enough players. I was not getting enough in return for what I was giving up. I received another trade.
Dominant category guy, you give up Bill Hamilton.
I'm sorry?
You need like a dominant cat. Like Feliz is not going to be like a dominant category guy.
Dominate, same
that's true.
Category.
Exactly.
I was not offered a Osuna.
Yeah, you're never here.
Well, you're not getting him.
Joey Votto was 2-4 yesterday in his 10th homer of the year. I know Votto, people were concerned about his slow start, but the dude has 10 home runs already.
It's like nobody talks about it, too. Yeah.
And he was batting like 230 like a week ago.
He was batting like 230.
286.
He wasn't doing enough, and he was hitting homers, and they were like solo shots. But now he's got 10 home runs. He's got 29 RBIs already. You're okay with Joey Votto in the middle of this order? Votto, Duvall, Suarez, Scheffler. These guys are getting bombs, and this is why the Reds sit here now just 17-15, 2 games over .500, because they can hit. I know the pitching has obviously been a struggle, but they can hit the baseball really, really far, Matt.
Yeah, and Votto's on a good pace. I believe he didn't hit his 9th homer till like the end of May last year, so he's got 10 already. He's got Duvall, like you said, Suarez, Scheffler, Billy Hamilton.
Hell of a table setter.
Yeah, he's like I said, many flaws you want to find with him, he's getting it done. So, I mean, Votto is just the consummate pro. As much as you want to knock him or whatever, people try to say he walks too much. He kind of seems to kind of change his approach this season, too. He seems to be a lot more aggressive at the plate.
I love it. And then you got Bill Hamilton batting 246, OBP at 303. And you can't tell. Bill Hamilton is he like the offensive player of the year right now?
Not with 246 batting average and a 303
no,
OBP.
But it's
God,
amazing.
Don't like
it,
that.
No. if he does get to league average OBP,
yeah,
I think he steals 100 bases. And that's 320. It's
yeah.
not really much higher.
Is it like 330 the league average?
I believe it's down to yeah. 320. But we can do a quick look. Right
yeah.
Now.
There you go. Take a break. We're going to come back. And not only did Joey Votto his 10th home run last night, but somebody else did his 10th and 11th. We'll break it down when we return. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Here on the Roto Experts, Scott, Tony, you can listen to them from 6 to 8 a.m. every single Monday through Friday. This is First and Kata and Angle. Angle also remains here on the Roto Experts alongside Corey Parson and Matt Modica. Greg Sussman with you. Now, Marcell Ozuna didn't just hit his 10th home run of the year. He hit his 10th and 11th, and this guy is just out of control awesome. Both Ozuna and Stanton hit their 11th home runs last night. Absolutely incredible the kind of season that Marcell Ozuna is having, Scotty.
He also did leave this game as he tweaked his hamstring late, so that'll be something to keep an eye on when you hear hamstring. That is never, ever good. But he hit both home runs off of Carlos Martinez, who had a really good night. First one was just a flick of the wrist, and boom, you know, it was gone. And he's tied with Stanton for 11 home runs. You never thought you'd hear that. Stanton is now homered four times in the last 3 days.
Stanton, you know when the big homie get hot. You know what I'm saying? So it should be interesting. Home. You know, last week he was like he getting tired of asking questions about Aaron Judge. You know what I'm saying?
They're asking him questions about Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
What about him?
They was like, yo, you see what Aaron Judge? Yeah, the comparison, big, you know, brawly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
home run.
I could see that.
Exit
yeah.
velocity type guys.
Yeah.
It seemed like every time one of these two dudes hit a home run, they that's the highest exit velocity in the StatCast era.
Yeah.
StatCast era is like this year.
Stanton generally doesn't like being interviewed except by certain people.
By you.
By certain people. I'm not one of them.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've interviewed him a couple times.
I have, but, you know, you always act like, put him on with, like, on MLB Network, you know, and then he lights up. And
yeah,
different.
You see his personality.
Put him up with Kevin Millar and those guys, you know, it's different.
Well, I think the thing with Ozuna, I keep saying it, but is just him staying healthy. I mean, he just needs to stay on the field, get the plate appearances. I mean, the hard hit percentage is, like, almost 50%. So this guy, I mean, him and Stanton, Yelich, I mean, that's a great 2-3-4. And if D. Gordon gets on base, they got the offense. They don't have the pitch.
Well, it's funny because the problem is, like, those first four guys are just dope. And after that, the next five are just brutal.
The next five, you're like, who the hell is these dudes?
By the way, it's like, I think I'm finished with this Adam Conley thing. I think I was wrong.
Oh, you're finally off on Adam Conley?
That's a good move, Scott.
Yeah, another big blow up start. So you know, it's like
You were all over Adam Conley last year. It's like, all right, this guy knows what he's talking about. So I got in, didn't work out great, and I was like, I stayed away.
It's been worse this year.
I know, that's why I didn't.
And you know what? You talk to Conley, he's a real thinker's kid with a high baseball IQ, but he's just not executing. You know, the pitches are right over the plate and they're flat.
Who's this guy that got to save for the Cardinals?
Well, he pitched three innings yesterday. That's why.
Okay.
He just pitched after Carlos Martinez. Innings saved. Don't worry about that.
All right, cool. I just want to make sure my man O
look
still
you
good.
You on the closing market.
There you go.
Just to give you the update, by the way, my man Matt Carpenter didn't hit a home run, but did hit a triple, which was nice.
Yes.
Hit a triple.
He's been scorching.
423 the OBP is up to now for my man Matt Carpenter. How about that? I don't know what that is.
Scorching hot.
Oh, okay, cool. Got a lot more baseball to get to. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts
starts now.
Hour number two. Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Monica, Angle, Parson, Sussman here with you. One more hour to go. Old School Fantasy comes your way next. Well, I start off the morning here. We'll start with hour number two. A funny story for you, Corey Parson.
I love funny stories.
We love it when you turn your mic on, too. So, it's great you get this man crap for all these years turning your mic on.
But you know what I am doing, though?
What?
Turning my mic off at the end of the segment.
And talking into the mic.
Huh?
And talking into the mic.
Yeah, and I also talk into the mic. I'm not...
So he had a 78 FIP and 1378.
Typical.
And then he had a 727
FIP. Typical Corey, like when he gets heat on him, he passes the buck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I learned that. I learned it by watching you.
You learned that a long time ago.
So, by the way, Kendrick Perkins has played mediator. And guess who's talking again, Corey?
Hold up. Kendrick Perkins is playing face. Yeah. Between who?
Who do you think? It's not Ray Allen, if that was your first guess.
No. Who could he possibly be mediating between? Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook?
They're talking again.
Oh, how nice is that? They've finally gotten past it. They've gotten closure.
Really, who gives a damn shit? Honestly.
Yeah.
Man, you didn't think it was messed up that they weren't friends no more?
Look,
you don't even care.
It's shocking.
Look, it's not even basketball. Any sport that it would be. Look, he left that team.
Mm-hmm.
They traded James Harden. Yeah. You know, he decided to go to a team where he had a better chance to win. I really don't see.
You can't beat him. Join him.
I don't see the difference.
Well, here's the thing. It's more or less like say, you know, like it's like he didn't tell him. And then after he they never spoke about it. Like it was like, okay, at the end of the season, you know, okay, whatever the case may be, I'll let you know what's going on, whatever, whatever. And then the next thing you know, they don't never talk and he just ups and leaves and he still never called Russell Westbrook to say anything. And that's why Westbrook was upset.
I get it. But what if Westbrook went to like Cleveland? LeBron was like, hey,
yeah,
come over here. We want you.
Westbrook is more or less saying, I would have called Kevin and let him know I'm rolling out.
I get that part. Yeah. I get that part. But he could have just called to him and said, hey, yeah, man, what's up? Why didn't you call me?
Yeah, that's true.
Could have had that conversation.
Yeah.
At some point, you know, it's like, you know, like maybe you don't speak to a coworker or something like that. Maybe you leave the job or something like that. Yeah. If you had a long time relationship with somebody, though, and, you know, eventually at some point, you know, the ice breaks and you may talk to the person again. Yeah.
Almost a year, though.
I mean, Russell Westbrook had a pretty damn good year this year. So
yeah, nah,
he got the shine in a way.
Yeah.
He's not winning a championship.
In an individual way, yeah.
So. Perkin said this as a follow-up to the conversation. Quote, I wouldn't be surprised if KD made a little run, as in the Warriors make a little run, which they are. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to Oklahoma. Because in my opinion, I don't think Russ is going anywhere. He's not the type of guy. He just wants to stick it out, and he just wants to give him those pieces, and he wants to roll with it. He's not going and trying to run and chase. And one thing about it, he's not begging nobody to come play with him.
He don't like to win championships. That's it. You know what I'm saying?
No, he wants to be the type of guy that say, okay, we won a championship, we did it on my back.
How are they going to do that? It's almost impossible.
Nowadays,
I agree with you, but he seems like the type of guy who wants to say, you know, I'm the centerpiece of this thing.
I agree with you, Scott.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. He wants to be.
Not that it'll work, but, you know, that's how he's looking at it.
Yeah, I guess
he's looking at getting an MVP trophy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Look, I think he's looking at the personal aspect of it.
I'm MVP.
Yeah.
Look what Kevin had to go do. I mean, and look what James Harden did. He got traded, and look how awesome he's been.
Yeah, no doubt. They have a chance. They got a serious shot. So, but yeah, I'm not the type to give KD a hard time for his decision. You know what I mean? He made it. Listen, Woj said back in February of last year that this is probably Kevin Durant's probably going to end up going to Golden State, mm-hmm. And he did.
He did.
Yeah, I don't begrudge any man or woman changing jobs if that's their preference and they feel it's better for them. You know.
Yeah, so I can't kill like free agents that like don't sign smaller contracts to stay in the city they're playing.
Yeah.
Like, go get the money, man, or lady.
I think LeBron James is the free agent that we look at all time and be like, wow, why did you do that?
You know,
but
what?
Even with that, it's like, okay, is that the end of the world?
You know what? I think I changed it for everybody. I think recognizing, like, this dude is a free agent. He's a mega, he's a multi-mega star, right? Yeah. The star athlete in our country. And he's like, you know what? I'm a free agent. I want to go play in South Beach with my best friends.
Yeah.
Like, and they're all like, took a step back. You know what? I'd make the same decision, too. Stay in Cleveland and lose or go play with my best friends in Miami, win championships? Yeah, that makes sense.
I remember when I left CBS Sportsline for ESPN. Yeah. And one of the guys that got left behind was real angry at me. But eventually, we spoke again. Yeah.
I imagine it's LeBron for sure. Stick around. Ricky Nolasco comes your way when we return next. Shook out 10 guys last night. Scott's like, this guy sucks. How is he striking out 10 guys? That's what I want to know too, Scotty. How does he strike out 10 guys when he stinks?
Outlier.
Outlier.
You know, four of the first five starts this year for Ricky Nolasco didn't strike out more than four. The Oakland A's should have a team meeting. Yeah, Ricky Nolasco is not a 10 strikeout guy. Career like, you know, 7.56 K per nine. To me, there's nothing to see here. I hope I'm wrong for Matt Modica.
No, I have him in AO. He was the.
You know, this guy's got like a 90% strand rate right now. It's like there's nothing to see.
This
here
guy means he's got a 430 in Alaska rate too.
Yeah, because he's got a 90% strand rate. It's, you know, Ricky in Alaska is not a good pitcher.
You know, him and Jesse Chavez rounded up my AL only rotation.
Yeah.
And, you know,
in AL only, you got to hope for stuff like that. You know,
I picked up Louis Valbuena. Like
you talk about your fifth, sixth starter. You know, in a mixed league, in an AL only league, you have to go with somebody like this. But in a mixed league, I'd never be looking.
He has a 5.47 FIP.
You know, he's not a good pitcher.
I don't know what that means.
But you read it.
Yeah, I did.
You know what it means. What does FIP mean?
Fielding independent pitcher.
There you go.
The full line for Nolasco. 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, struck out 10, walked nobody. Holy crow. Kendall Graveman pitched really well himself, matched him. Yeah. 7 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs. Happened. He struck out 6. It was when we went to extras where Javier loses.
Javi.
That's an accented word. It's an accented name. I don't understand.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. Yeah.
It's an accented name. I'm not talking about how
he speaks. That was so racist.
Yeah, it was. Yesterday with the Bagnani and today this.
This is how you pronounce their name, Scott.
Yeah.
Javi Guerra gets the loss while it's Liam Hendricks getting the win for Oakland.
Well, I noticed you didn't say anything about Liam. You didn't put an accent on that name.
I can't do an Australian accent. I don't do it.
Graveman bounced back from a really bad start. It was very encouraging.
Graveman at home is pretty much seems like a must start.
Yeah, he's got two turns this week.
You know, the worst feeling ever, one of the worst fantasy feelings ever is when you pick up a guy and you're all excited about it.
Yeah, and he sucks.
So I picked up Yonder Alonso yesterday, as you guys know.
Yeah, I know.
On this program.
Did you strike out 4 times?
2 times. He went 0 for 4.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, you want to easily bounce back tonight.
But the good news is he wasn't in my lineup yesterday. So today's the debut of Yonder Alonso.
Nice job. All right.
Get the media. Alert the media.
Alert the media. I just did, man. Jed Lowry. 2 home runs last night, including the walk-off shot against Javier. Trevor Plouffe, his 5th home run of the year for Oakland. Over to the Angels side of things, Anderson Simmons left this game, got hit in the hand on a pitch. That's not good.
X-rays were negative, though.
That is good. You never like to see a guy. And Mike Trout, not on the DL yet, but he could be DL bound, says Mike Socia, which is not good, Scotty.
Well, what he said was is that they discussed it, and they're probably not going to do it. It could still happen, but he said it's not likely because they don't feel he's going to miss the entire 10 days. But still, this is a hamstring, and anytime we hear hamstring, you know, that's not a good sign.
As a Mike Trout owner, I'd rather see him just go to the 10 days.
Absolutely.
Just to be precautious.
Exactly.
Just
so they don't rush him back.
Let him come back full speed.
Yep.
I don't want anything lingering.
You've already learned from the Cespedes thing. You can't
you don't want
with the hamstring.
Especially not for an outfielder.
Speaking of Cespedes, I heard like he might be back in
in two weeks. They said he's going to resume baseball activities in the next few days. And Terry Collins said he'll be back in about 2 weeks. Damn it. He better be.
I mean, the team sucked. What do you want me to do?
Hey, look, the Mets have played.
Hey, goddammit, Yankee fan, we won 7 of the last 10.
Yeah, the Mets have played surprisingly well, so I really don't want to rush him. I want to make sure, you know, they should send Dr. A out there to give him a checkup, in my opinion.
What's up with Dr. A? Tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
All right.
Oh, yeah, you see that.
This is Geraldo Rivera and Bill O'Reilly at the Mets game. Be careful. Be careful, ladies. Bill O'Reilly's looking at your butt.
What's Geraldo doing?
Geraldo, I mean, I gotta say, that dude's been around forever.
He's been.
He's like the... he's like the Puerto Rican Wilt Chamberlain.
Hey, don't do that. Don't do that.
Geraldo.
We last show shook out 10 guys, and as you just said,
I didn't know Geraldo was Puerto Rican.
So does Nate.
He's a Puerto Rican Jew.
So did Nate Carr. Nate Carr.
He's either Matt or
Michael. I love it.
What? We'll move on.
He's, in fact, a Puerto Rican Jew.
All right, wow.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. Any other questions regarding Geraldo?
No, I didn't know that fact.
He's also.
Can we have that as Mike lying?
He's also.
question number six. Geraldo Rivera is a Puerto Rican Jew.
He's also been married 5 times. These news guys get married a lot.
Wow. Him and Larry King racking them up.
Well, they were married to the same woman at some point.
I don't think so, no.
Trevor Plouffe.
Yes. No, actually. Oh.
Somebody.
You said you picked up Valbuena, though. He hit a shot off of Graveman last night. If there's anything that guy can do, he can hit homers.
Yeah, he'll bat 220, hit you a bunch of home runs.
But, yeah.
Hey. The Royals got 10 strikeouts, as you just said, Matt, from Nate Carnes. That's where we're going next. 6 1/3, 6 hits, 2 runs, 10 strikeouts, couple of walks for Nate Carnes. So I asked everybody, should I pick this guy? I was like, no, he sucks, and I didn't pick him up. And he was. 6 innings, 10 Ks for Carnes. Blake Snell on the other side, 5 innings, 10 hits, 4 runs, 2 strikeouts. I want to get into both of these guys. Let's start with Carnes. This performance, impressive, but again, he faces Baltimore this weekend, less impressive.
Yeah, and this was like a revenge game for him, too. He used to be a member of the Tampa Bay Rays. The problem with Carnes has been his whole career is that third time through the order, he really hasn't been able to figure that one out. He was a popular guy this week. I own him in like a couple of leagues, and I'm really never confident putting him in, but this was a matchup that he had to be in for. So,
and you talk about the middle innings. It was actually the reverse for Carnes last night. They jumped on him early. He actually got ticked off and then added some velocity to his fastball, and then he, you know, got out of the inning. It was pumping his fist. He was real fired up for this game last night, and he had a career high in strikeouts.
And he hasn't been bad, but he still walked. He still give up a little bit too many home runs. You feel what I'm saying? Be careful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting to see what happens later on this week at Baltimore.
He's going
to
get rocked. He's going to get his head beat in.
Well, hopefully not.
Now you talk about Snell.
No, I'm sorry, man. Calm down.
You talk about Snell and 5 innings, another not good, another frustrating start. Ian Snell in 26 career starts.
Blake Snell.
Blake Snell.
What did you change his name for?
What?
Why did you change his name?
I don't know.
Okay.
Blake Snell in 26 career starts. In 16 of them, he has not been able to go past 5 innings.
That's definitely an issue with Blake Snell. Yeah. I think we all expected him to take the next step, and it hasn't happened here with Blake. Yeah. Like Scott, you're 100% right.
Poor stamina.
I was thinking of the old pirate, by the way, Ian Snell.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are they related?
I will do a quick Wikipedia.
They're not. I'm already there. Okay. But Blake.
You're doing this, Mike, lying to me.
Yeah. We're waiting for him to take the next step and be able to go deeper into the games and harness that control. He just hasn't been able to do that. And it's been a bugaboo. Like, I know I drafted him hoping he would take it, and it just hasn't happened.
Well, he only had 1 walk last night, but he gave up 10 hits. It wasn't the walks last night. It wasn't the control.
ERA still sits under 4, though, Matt.
Yeah, this is a kid that's trying to figure it out. It's tough. He's not an easy division. And like Scott said, he hasn't been able to go deep into games. The walks have usually been the problem for him. It's been the control. Maybe he's pitching more. Maybe last night he was 2 in the zone. I really didn't see much of the game, so I can't say he gave up 10
hits. How much really is it the division, though? This guy's been doing this against everybody.
Like, he's got good stuff, but it looked good to hit, too.
I mean, look, the Kansas City Royals got 10 hits off them. They've been, like, the worst offense in baseball.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they have 10 hits coming into the season last night.
And, I mean, they got, like, 3 homers for the month of May, and there was somebody put an interesting thing on Twitter the other day. Like, the other people that have more homers than the Royals this month.
Oh, I saw that. I saw you said that. And 2 of them are my players. I was pretty comfortable with that.
Nice.
Yeah. For the Royals, excuse me, last night, it was Drew Butera, the backup catcher. He went deep. And then they ran a little wild last night here against Derek Norris. Felt bad for the guy.
Yeah, your boy Kiermaier actually had a ball go under his glove in center field, and Lorenzo Cain got a Little League home run off of it.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, Kiermaier, I think the plate is affecting him in the field.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with
you. Little League home run.
That was Lorenzo Cain last night, yeah. He went under his glove with the ball rolled all the way to the wall.
Yeah, it was literally, thank you. It was literally just a single, and he ran all the way around the base. He's got 100% right.
He need oxygen.
Alex Gordon stole a base. Lorenzo Cain stole a base. Eric Hosmer stole 2 bases. I mean, they were, like I said, running wild off of Derek Norris. On the other side, Kevin Kiermaier's goodbye present to me was a 1-for-4 outing with a run scored and 3 strikeouts.
And a big error.
And a big error, which doesn't count for fantasy. Kobe Rasmus is his second home run in 2 days for the Rays.
That's like Kobe Rasmus. He'll get hot for a week or 2 and get excited.
Yep.
When we come back, it's time to check in on Trevor Cahill. Everyone's talking about Cahill last night. We do it next on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Fun pitcher performances last night, but the one a lot of people are talking about, at least from my estimation, is Trevor Cahill. Cahill against Texas last night, 5 1/3, 1 hit, walked 5, 7 strikeouts, but 0 runs come around to score as Trevor Cahill's renaissance season in San Diego continues. Now, I'm not a Trevor Cahill guy. I don't have him anywhere. I don't want to have him there anywhere. Well, Trevor Cahill, Matty, has looked pretty good.
I mean, he's been really good, and it's backed up by the statistics, whatever you want to look at. I mean, I think he's got a 14% swinging strike rate, a 65% first pitch strike. The ERA, the FIP, the XFIP, whatever you want to see, it's all validated there. Pitching in San Diego has been really good for him. On the road, I don't think as much, but hey, look, this is a guy that at some point is going to get moved. Of course, the Padres are going to take whatever they can get.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And like, he has a nice home ballpark to pitch in, number one. He's creating swings and misses, like Matthew mentioned. And so isn't this a low-cost streaming option, especially when he's at home? I can get down with it, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think you want to own him right now. I mean, if he's
12-team leagues too?
Yeah, in a 12-team, he's more of that definite streaming option at home. I would definitely put him in. I mean, in a 15-team,
he's on your rotation. Your fantasy rotation.
The sinker was working well for him last night, and it really allowed him to like move the batter's eye around. You know, like these guys are talking about, though, the ERA at home is under 1. At the road, it's over 5. Even though he's still getting the strikeouts on the road. He's in 17 innings pitch on the road. He does have 24 strikeouts.
So Austin Hedges hit his 7th homer of the year. Ryan Spangenberg hit his first homer of the year.
Corey
Spangenberg, excuse me. And then I get to Ryan Schimm. That's where I said
Ryan.
I thought
you was calling me.
That's where I said Ryan.
He's not Corey. I was like, huh? What happened?
So Schimpf hit his 9th home run of the year, and it's very interesting. Schimpf, in comparison to the third baseman on the other side of the field, and that's Joey Gallo. Now, let me read you Gallo's stats here. Batting average is 194.
That's not good.
OBP is 293. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay. Gallo's OBP is 293. But he's got 10 home runs and 21 RBI.
Got to play him.
Ryan Schimpf, are you ready for this? The average is 172. The OBP is 319.
League average.
Is that the league average?
Yes, actually it is. 319 is now league average.
That's what you said. You just looked it up.
No, you didn't hear Matt say it earlier?
Missed it. I like it, though.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
He's drawing walks. Yeah.
OBP at 319. 9 home runs, 17 RBI. Both third basemen, Schimpf and Gallo, very, very similar numbers here. Both with the OPS over 800, despite having averages under 200.
Well, Schimpf has just started to heat up recently. In the first month, he had under 160. This month so far, small sample size, Corey, he's hitting 263. But the power has been there regardless. In the last week, he's hit like 263 with like 3 home runs. So he's just started to pick it up. In the first month, he had such a bad average that there was talk about maybe actually sending him down to the minors, but he's gotten up over 260, this month at least.
What's crazy with Schimpf, this guy just hits fly balls. He hits a massive amount of fly balls. Last year, he had 65% fly balls. This year, he's got 70%. I mean, that's just, it's insane. I mean, he's got power, and if you put it in the air.
I get all that. I get the power.
So you're saying, is this like 12 team? Would you put these guys in your lineup?
Well, yes. Because if 15 team leagues, you're going to play in the corner, corner infield spots or whatnot. But I'm looking at these two guys, and they both have massive power, right? 10 home runs. Like Scott likes to talk about Billy Hamilton being one category guy. Dude just got 20 steals already, right?
Right.
Both Ryan Schimpf and Joey Gallo have 10 home runs, give or take a piece. Their average is 170, right? 172 for Schimpf, 194 for Joey Gallo. I mean, that is detrimental. That is 50 points lower than my man Billy Hamilton
now. The difference is, though, in an OBP league, you can get away with Schimpf right now.
At 319, you can get away with that.
He's walking.
I agree with that. Could you get away with Joey Gallo's 293?
Maybe Schimpf
has a better eye so far in terms of that.
That's true.
I can't have a 293 on my OBP roster.
Matt, you like to point it out that home runs everywhere is up. Like everybody's hitting home runs this year. Joey Gallo's got 10. Ryan Schimpf's got 9. But their averages are so detrimental. Is this worth employing week in and week out?
You probably can't. Right, you really can't. You want to, and the point I'll give you is, I'll look up his price in a second. But I mean, look at Mark Trumbo this year. He hit 47 home runs and batted 250. And what was he worth? Low 20s or something?
Right.
It wasn't like he was a $30 player. He wasn't even a $30 player. He led the league in home runs. So I mean,
Chris Carter got cut.
Yeah. In this era of the home run and stuff. These are two guys, I mean, you really don't, even at corner in a 15-team league, they're going to do more damage than, more harm than help.
Scotty, but it's so hard when you're seeing, as you said, you just gave out what Schimpf has done over the last 9 days in May, 263, 3 home runs. Joey Gallo homers very regularly. I mean, he has double-digit home runs. But besides these home runs, Gallo more so than Schimpf, they're striking out almost every at-bat. I mean, Gallo's strikeout rate is still very, very high, and the average is under 200 of both these guys. Like, I don't know how we can play him despite
Schimpf
the home runs.
Schimpf is at least walking. Here's something interesting. I cut Schimpf in the Greenwich Street Tavern League. I kept him in Tout Wars because Tout Wars is OBP. Here's the thing, though. When Schimpf gets hot, he doesn't kill you because, like I said, this month he's hitting 263. Granted, we're only somewhat days into the month, but when you pick him up, you don't pick up that 154 average for the first month.
Yep.
So
makes sense.
If you're kind of like streaming him and running him in and out of the lineup, like when he gets hot, you can kind of play it where he doesn't totally kill the batting average.
But I guess my point is, Corey, is that you pick it up Ryan Schimpf, and Scott's right, 263 right in the 8 days of May. Mm-hmm. He's got a couple of home runs. But can I find those home runs elsewhere in the waiver wire for a guy that's not going to really kill my average?
Yeah, you're saying that because power being up across the board.
Yes, exactly.
More than likely, yes, you probably could. It depends on the size of your league, points, your scoring system, format, whatever the case may be. But listen, I'm going to take these home runs and these RBIs. That batting average, I'll figure that part out.
Yeah, no, but that average is really going to hurt. Like, a guy like Jason Werth, who I'm assuming was widely available in like a lot of Yahoo, CBS, and all that kind of stuff. I'd rather have him than either of these two guys.
I would too.
Because, I mean, these guys, a 192 batting average is detrimental. It's really going to kill you. I mean, 10 home runs, that's great. But you can get ten.
You can find the homers.
You know, you can find that. That is not hard anymore. I mean, look at the last year. He was 100 and like something people that hit over 20 home runs.
I 100% agree with you. Like, look,
Scott's childish.
I'm childish. You were the one who started laughing.
Listen, you're absolutely right. With Joey Gallo and Ryan Schimpf, when you hit home runs, you're not a one category player, obviously, because they score runs and they score RBIs. But yeah, you bring up Jason Worth, that's not going to, maybe he's not going to hit double digit home runs in a week. Maybe he's not going to have the power, the hotness that these two guys have, but he will not kill you like I think Joey Gallo will.
To Scott's point about you didn't pick up that 160 average,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes.
In a daily transaction league, yes, you can massage that, do matchups. But if you got to play him in a weekly league, that could be tough. Because, I mean, That's where I would flip the argument.
I understand where he's coming from.
Well, you put your hand up like you wanted to.
No, I was
scratching his nose.
I thought it was like you give me the sign.
Second base.
I mean, I'm third base coach, right?
Yeah, you're in the sign like, hey, listen, I got a response to that. Yeah, so.
Run.
So Ryan Schimpf, Joey Gallo, for many people, more disaster. Stop.
Let me say something. If Joey Gallo wasn't hitting monster bombs, you know, people really wouldn't even have him on the teams. If he was just hitting normal home runs and batting 190, I mean, I'm rooting for Joey Gallo. He's only 23. I'm rooting for the kid to be good. I want to see him be good as a fan of baseball.
Let me take another step. Austin Hedges, right? Seven home runs already. A catcher position. And he probably has the most home runs of any catcher in baseball. I have to imagine. I'll look it up in a second. But he has seven home runs already. But his average is 188. His OBP is 248.
But he's considered, at least in the minor leagues he was, I don't know what his framing is this year, but he was considered like the ultimate defensive catcher in the minors. That was like his pedigree. Like he was the prime defensive guy coming out.
Here's the thing with these low average guys.
So that's great.
I'm saying that's going to keep him in the lineup. He's going, at least he's, I'm not talking for fantasy. This way. He is supposedly an uber defensive player. It's kind of like my Kevin Kiermaier argument. I believe in the long run, he will get out of this
funk. That's why Buxton's staying up in the majors.
Yeah, and Buxton too. Buxton's a hell of a defensive player.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, Hedges, he has seven home runs, Scotty, but that average in OBP, I mean, you said a moment ago with Joey Gallo, like you can't have a guy with an OBP of 293 on your team. Austin Hedges at 248.
Right. I don't own Austin Hedges anywhere, but, you know, this is catcher, and sometimes with that second catcher, you might end up in a desperation situation. But with any of these low average guys, you may be able to take a hit of one of them, but, you know, if you got three or four of them, you know, you're just going to kill yourself.
But this isn't like a little bit of a, all right, I got a 220 guy that hits 40 home runs. This is 180.
Yeah.
This is a guy with a 188 average.
I don't think he's going to finish at 188, though, necessarily. He might finish at 220.
Maybe that's true.
Well, I think this is becoming a product of the game right now with the true outcome and the all or nothing,
yes,
you know. You're either going to strike out, hit the homer, or take the walk.
Yeah.
So. I do own Austin Hedges in a two-catcher league. My catchers are Austin Hedges and Yasmani Grandal.
Good job.
You say good job.
Neither of those are low batting.
Both of these guys' averages are absolutely killing
my catchers, though.
But we see that they still count. They still play every day.
Yeah, you have Austin Romine. What was hitting for a good average, right?
Sure.
He wasn't giving you much run production.
Like, is that better for me than having this?
I mean, look, if you picked up Alex Avila a couple of weeks ago, you're very happy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think Alex Avila is going to continue that pace neither.
Like, should I own Tyler Flowers, who has a 471 OBP with zero home runs?
I own him. I would like to see some home runs.
I have Tyler Flowers, yeah.
But you know, you don't have the seven home runs
tonight. The counting numbers will come, and, you know, he's going to hit for a decent average.
I mean, here's the thing. In the two catcher leagues, I pretty much, the majority of my leagues, my catchers are Tyler Flowers and Jason Castro. Really not a great.
I got like Tyler Flowers and Jet Bandy.
I went before the season started. I went to actually drop Austin Hedges for Tyler Flowers. I didn't win the bid. I wound up losing the bid there.
Traded off average for power.
Essentially, I don't. And I guess the ultimate answer is it depends on how your team is constructed. If that's like a good trade off for you.
But even like the Brewers, Manny Pena and Jet Bandy, I like both of them. I got them on different teams.
I have both on one team.
I want to see where they are in like a month or two.
Right, 100%. All right, we'll come back. We got a couple more games we want to talk about, including in Baltimore and in Toronto. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey, Greg.
What's up?
Before we get started, just got this little alert on my mobile devices.
Android and
Apple. The NFL Players Association is filing a grievance against the league for violating the collective bargaining agreement for the over prescribing of painkillers. It's not a good look.
I just let them smoke weed.
Yeah, there you go. Just let them smoke marijuana.
I mean, I don't know why they just don't follow the NBA. They see another league doing it. You know, why would you want like your stars missing games just on a, you know?
The painkillers are no good.
The painkillers are so much worse. I mean, that's much worse. The opioid epidemic. I'm talking damn word out of my mouth. Sorry.
It's all good.
That in America is one of the biggest crises we are facing, and people really need to get on board and try and curb this thing.
Well, I think it's really interesting because, you know, not that this is an opioid discussion here, but like for many of us, I shouldn't say many of us, I can only speak for myself. Like, I don't see the opioid crisis every day, right? Like, it's not in my life. It's not something that I have to deal with or recognize. So it's possible there's people like me that don't even know it exists, right? Like I see it, like I watch like the New Hampshire primary, and there was like the biggest thing coming out of the primary was that there's this monster opioid crisis, and I see President Trump talking about it. I'm like,
where's it at?
What is doing?
And Staten Island was like the heroin capital. When I heard that, I was like blown away.
Wow.
It's different now. You know what I'm saying? I remember from back in the late 80s and early 90s when we would come out the building, you know what I'm saying? And it would literally be stepping over junkies on the way to school. You feel what I'm saying? But it's not like where I'm at, it's not like that no more. You know what I'm saying? It's like you almost, you don't see it at all. But in some of these other places, it's like, it apparently it's real serious, and you don't want to get these athletes hooked on that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Over prescribing that stuff when they can hit a bong. You know what I'm saying? And be out there feeling
Brett
better.
Did Brett Favre like really complain about the painkillers?
Yep, Brett Favre. Was,
He got very addicted to them.
He was addicted to them.
Yep.
And I'm sure a lot of these guys become very addicted to them. And
they just popping them.
It is very difficult to get a prescription now. Like, doctors really, I mean, most doctors will say, will really try not to give out that prescription. You have to have something, you know, you've had to have a surgery or something.
They even shed light on that in Ballers, I think, too. Like,
The Rock is
just trying to, you know, constantly going to doctors trying to get the painkillers.
Right. It's true. I actually remember when I had surgery when I was very, very young, and they gave me, they had a button. For painkiller, right? And they're like, listen, you only press this when you're absolutely, and I'm very young. I'm eight years old. And they trust me, they trust you to listen.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
All right.
He made it.
I'm here.
20 years later, I'm here. But you press the button, but like, I was warned by my parents, like, don't. You press the button when you absolutely need it. Yeah. You don't just press it because it's fun to press the button.
Yeah,
I would have been hitting that button just for fun as a kid.
Well, that's what they were scared of. I wanted to hit the button one time, and I was like, that was cool.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. Right, I'm better now.
Right.
But that, like you said, marijuana is the.
Well, let's say one thing about marijuana. I mean, I'm pro marijuana and stuff like that. I don't think it should.
Corey's also pro marijuana.
I mean, honestly, the marijuana
in my pocket,
today.
I'm just teasing.
Is that you, Laura?
The marijuana that's today is so much more potent than it was
20, 30,
and then I would all these hybrids and these strands. It's not like that's like back in the day.
Be careful with that too.
That's kind of a gateway thing too.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to like legalize a certain strand of marijuana?
I don't know. I'm about that. Yeah, talk to like Snoop Dogg about that.
Laura Michaels.
Second time that she
checked. Why are you like snitching on people? You know what I'm saying? Like,
how is that snitching? Lawyer openly like jokes about it, and Jeff Erickson was joking about it on the Tout Wars broadcast.
Laura has a medical thing, so
yeah.
I believe that to be the case.
Yeah, he got medical marijuana.
But then again, pretty much everybody. When I lived in California, this is going back a few years. But the running joke was, isn't marijuana legal? And I mean, everybody had a prescription.
Yeah.
It's back to baseball here. Yeah. There's not a lot of conversation.
Sorry, I just wanted to let you know about that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We have a nice discussion out of it. Battle of the Beltway, Corey.
Yeah, the Beltway battle. You got the Nats and we got the Orioles, you know what I mean? Locking up. Well, they're in
Baltimore.
They're in Baltimore this weekend, so they're on the northern side of the Beltway. So we got that situation going. Last night, of course, the O's get the W 6-4 over my Washington Nationals.
What was the most important thing last night?
Kevin Gausman.
Well, that was really good. But Bryce really Harper good. Came back and homered. So. Yeah,
Gausman needed that start, and he was changing speeds really well. 7 innings pitched, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, and 8 strikeouts. The Orioles needed that, and Gausman definitely needed that.
And the funny thing is, he did really well against the best offense in baseball, and later on this week he has the easier matchup, so let's hope he can get...
Nice job with that. Then this Brad Brock, oh my goodness, this guy gets a save every time you throw him out there. He's getting a save.
Love run last night, though, which just scared the crap out of me. Dusty did something stupid, but he didn't. You just let him finish the job. He got to get the save, which he did. His 8th of the year, right? So he picked up Brad Brock. You feel pretty good about yourself.
No, you got to like that. Yep, you got to like that. Smart move.
And on the flip side, the calendar turned to May, and Gio Gonzalez is going back to his old ways. He did the same thing last year, too.
You just cannot trust that guy. As much as I want to, you can't. You know, if he's not walking the park, he's giving up too many hits.
My guy, Trey Boom Boom Mancini, hit a home run.
Yeah, Trey Mancini is hitting over 660 in the past week. With 8 RBIs. It was actually Trey Mancini t-shirt last night in Baltimore.
No,
and that's how
that?
They celebrated.
He's homering like one every 8 at-bats or something in his brief.
People started cutting him too when he went cold.
Yeah, no, I got him in like 2 leagues. I put him in this week because I did sit him last week and I put him back in and I was happy about that.
So the final lines for both Gausman and Gio, 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 8 Ks for Kevin Gausman, 6 innings, 7 hits, 6 runs, 4 walks, and just 2 strikeouts for Gio. That's
3 home runs.
You guys mentioned it. Rickard, Mark Trumbo, and Trey Mancini all homered in the first inning. It was a brutal start to the night for Gio Gonzalez.
By the way, Trumbo's home run was actually 4 points. The baseball was actually 4.6 feet off the ground when Trumbo yanked it. It was like the highest that a batter has ever hit a home run off the ground in 9 years in the majors.
Where do you get this information from?
Reviewing the games, et cetera. Yeah.
Just curious as to these nuggets.
Yeah.
I had nuggets yesterday.
Really?
I love the new McNuggets.
Aren't they the same McNuggets as always?
I like the
new sweet barbecue flavors. Sandwich.
Hmm. Yeah, so you get it for lunch today?
I got it for lunch yesterday, so I probably won't do that today.
Fair enough. As you said, Bryce Harper returns from injury, immediately hits the home run. His 10th home run over the year. That came off Darren O'Day in the 8th. So if you're nervous as a Brock owner, he'll have a run. So did Darren O'Day. So things are okay.
Did Manny Machado get hit?
Manny Machado did not get hit yesterday.
Okay. But he didn't get a hit.
He didn't get a hit either. That's right, Scotty. He didn't get a hit either. But that's okay. Jonathan Scope also returned to action yesterday. He was 1-for-4 with the run scored. Scope quietly batting 7th or 8th in this lineup up to 294. He doesn't really walk all that much. OBP's 336. But Scope, who a lot of people in the fantasy community, Scotty, was very high coming into the year. 5 home runs, 17 ribbies. He's been okay.
Yes, and I wrote about him in Benny Ricciardi's Definitive Guide to Fantasy Baseball in my insider report there. And a lot of people just didn't like Scope. They felt like he didn't have the plate discipline.
Well, I think people, I'm sorry for interrupting you, I think people were like, into the spectrum, super high or not high at all.
Yeah, and I was one of the guys who said, look, the power is good. Maybe you'll get a decent batting average, but I think this guy is improving enough. Another interesting storyline in the game, it was Matt Wieter's return to Baltimore, and they gave him a nice standing ovation. He stepped out of the box, saluted the crowd, etc.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. That was nice of him.
And just to mention, we talked earlier about Jason Worth batting second. Since batting in the two-hole, he has 37 plate appearances, a .364 average, a .432 on base, and a .606 slug.
He's doing well. Who was the guy that let it off for the Nationals yesterday?
Oh, Defoe. Yeah, he's been up with them for a few weeks.
Wilmer Defoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
my Nationals.
He's leading off on him. Yeah.
The Indians last night for the Blue Jays by the score of 4-2. It was Marcus Stroman pitching well here. Good start for Stroman after struggling and leave the game early his last time out. Six innings, six hits, just two walks, no runs came across. Only one strikeout, though, for Marcus Stroman. While Roberto Osuna, who we mentioned in the first hour of this program, pitches a perfect ninth for his fifth save of the year.
Yeah, that's Stroman for you, though. He's going to get it through ground balls. He's not going to get it through strikeouts. And also another homecoming last night. Edwin Encarnacion comes home to Toronto as a member of the Cleveland Ball Club. And actually like strikes out in a very key situation.
They use standing ovation as well.
They gave him a nice hand. Joe Smith actually struck him out with two runners on base. Joe Smith with two big strikeouts. To set up the hold for the Osuna save.
It's funny, Joe Smith, a former Indian as well.
Yes,
for the record.
As far as Stroman goes, I mean, you like to see some more strikeouts. That's really not his game. He can get them from time to time. My main thing with him is the home run. If he can keep the ball in the park, he's a pretty damn good pitcher.
Yeah, he is. And it's funny because you said the same thing to the guy on the other side about keeping the ball in the park, and that was Trevor Bauer. Six innings, six hits, four runs, three walks, six strikeouts. 125 pitches last night for Trevor Bauer. And that's a guy that I'm very excited to not own anywhere.
Yeah, me too. I'll agree.
You can't rely on him. It's like I was looking for streamers this week, and I said Bauer against Toronto. I can't do it.
I wonder what Cleveland probably should have did with Bauer is maybe put him in the bullpen role, make him only use like two pitches, three tops. And we've seen like Danny Duffy excel there, some others. And maybe just that change of pace, I don't know. Because I think he's just got too many things going on.
It's funny because the Indians are just not a team that needs another guy in the bullpen, you know? Like, they have their bullpen, and it kind of is what it is, and they need a starter. That's what Trevor Bauer is as far. The ERA on the year is 7.36. I don't know how long they keep throwing this guy out there.
No, maybe at some point they do have to consider replacing him in the rotation,
right,
as Matt alluded to.
The Indians had a 2-for-4 night from Carlos Santana, who hit two doubles last evening. Francisco Lindor, 2-for-4. Jason Kipnis is back in the three-hole last night, as Kipnis goes over 4, batting 170 with 186 OBP. He has really struggled since he has returned from the DL.
Yeah, he has, and it's almost getting to the point where you can't cut him, but you got to reserve him.
You got to do something about Jason Kipnis. You got at least get caught him. You're right, Scotty, but yeah, I can't start.
He really didn't have a spring training.
It's true.
He was kind of rushed on that rehab. He came pretty quick, in my opinion. I mean, if you have him, there's no way in hell I'm cutting him.
Interesting to note, Kipnis is back in the three spot without Michael Brantley in the line. Of course, Brantley day-to-day with an ankle injury. There's a chance he misses his entire series with Toronto, they said. I know Frank Staffel on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever was talking about how was benching Brantley this week in a weekly league. Yeah, can't make that change. Probably a good decision.
He's going to miss the whole series. And on the other side, Justin Smoak hasn't been bad. He had two more RBIs last night. This is a guy, when I was doing my insider reports in the preseason, people were saying that Steven Pierce is going to play some first base because they're just so tired of Smoak. He's so bad. And, you know, he's got five home runs and 17 RBIs.
Yeah, I own him in my only league, so I've been happy to see that.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
I did find it interesting, like I said, with Brantley out, Kipnis moves up to the three spot, and not a guy like, not like moving up everybody one spot, right? Not NE3, Jose Ramirez 4. I thought that could have been what they did, but they kind of kept everyone else in their same spots.
I mean, outside of Kevin Pillar, this offense has just been god awful. I mean, even like Devin Travis is bad.
Morales is heating up, though. He's got 6 extra base hits in his last 8 games. But Batista, again last night, 0-for-3, is down to 169.
Insane, man.
Yeah, I mean,
we talked about, like, it's funny, because we talked about Joey Gallo a few minutes ago, how you said, Scotty, you can't employ someone on your team as a 293 OBP, despite the 10 home runs. Jose Batista got a 296 OBP, a lower average, and 8 less home runs. You told me you wouldn't even want that guy on your team.
I'm playing in an OBP slugging percentage league right now.
Right.
He is on my bench.
But, like, he should be dropped. The only reason you're not dropping is the pedigree, but like, this is horrible.
He's got this month to turn it around, and by June, if he doesn't, then I'm going to drop
you
him.
You told me yesterday it was May 15th. You told me yesterday May 15th is your cutoff date for these guys.
I said it's the time to panic.
And okay.
May 15th, I'm going to start going, you know what, I'm going to start considering it. You know, you better start hitting this week. then by June 1st, if he doesn't, then he's gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think by the end of this month, you want to be... I mean, you don't have to be in first place or anything like that, but you want to be in a decent spot in the first upper first half of your leagues and stuff.
Right. You want to make sure you have a shot to compete and not to be too far back. All right. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the games going on today. A doubleheader in Colorado, which is way too much fun. Stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning continues next.
I'm Cameron Rupp, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Final couple minutes here, the Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey Parson, the host of Old School Fantasy, alongside Matt Modica and George Kurtz. They come your way next. What's happening?
So today, you know what I'm saying, we're going to dive back, you know what I mean? We're going to look at tonight's slate for Major League Baseball. Got some interesting pitching matchups. I'll get the fellas to break those down and let you know where you should be going tonight. More or less just look at the slate. Also going to talk some the devaluing of quarterbacks in fantasy football. Want to talk about how, you know, different ways we can raise the quarterback's value, super flex leagues, things like that. And we'll look at some of the top quarterbacks coming into this year. You know, I think people kind of rank them and rate them differently. And I think I may have a different name at the top than, well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll discuss. You know what I'm saying? Old School Fantasy coming up next. And we'll get ready for the Rangers tonight, too. Maybe we should have like a pep rally.
Now you turn your mic off.
Now you can turn your mic on, man. When we come back on
there.
Yeah, I know, right? So there you go, right there. So it'll be fun. We'll have a Ranger pep rally today. I don't know what that means, but if they got like a Ranger theme song or something, but we'll have a Ranger pep rally for this is game six,
whoa,
right?
This is game six, yeah.
This is game six. So we'll have a big game whoa six pep rally right here. So the series is 3-2.
They are on the
brink
of elimination.
The short side of that, yes.
And they're going to be right here at Madison Square Garden.
Right around the corner. Yeah.
A hop, skip, and a jump away. Yeah. The world's most famous arena.
There you go.
There you go. There goes the horn. There goes the horn.
Here it comes. Now, wait for you. You're confused by this?
He's playing his air drums. Scott should come on center ice tonight and play the air drums.
I think regardless, win or lose, I'm saving this damn dude.
Win or lose? You can't do that. If they win, I guess I gotta keep it. Has that been going to Charlotte
Corey
playoffs?
Got a multi-class.
No, it hasn't.
I feel like he's changed.
I think I started with this round or something. After they won a game or something.
All right. Like I said, going to the break, get the doubleheader in Colorado today, which is going to be really fun, Corey.
Yeah, doubleheader in Colorado should be a lot of runs.
True, baby. You got the Cubs.
I actually held Jake Arrieta out of one of my lineups this week because the one time that Jake Arrieta went there was August 9th, 2014. Worst start of his career. Gave up 9 runs and 13 hits.
I want to see what Antonio Sensatella does this week.
Yep.
He got 2 home starts.
We had somebody in the GST actually pick him up and put him for the 2 starts, but they're in Colorado. Yeah. They're in Colorado. They paid $250.
Jesus.
I picked him up for $26 in that league, decided I couldn't have a Colorado pitcher on my roster and cut him. When I picked him up, I only bid $26.
Interesting.
You're a smarter man than the other guy.
Just like that, we're done. 2 hours through in the books.
Yeah, guitar is out.
Yeah. And whatever that face is, yeah, as well.
Stanley face.
I will not see what that face really looks like. For Matt Modica, for Scott the King Angle, and for Corey Parson, my name is Craig Sossman. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Tuesday afternoon. Let's go Rangers tonight. We'll see you right back here tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, on the Red Raptors in the morning. Goodbye.